Podcast. Man, I hope everybody's been having a good week. In Oakland, we are having the craziest weather. Our weather is bipolar, man. A few days ago was raining and it felt like it was about to be scarf weather, and then it was like 90 degrees. It's 90 degrees today. It's just weird, man. I don't know what's going on with our weather, but I don't like it. I like boots and pea coats. And we need rain. So, I don't know. But anyway, I hope you all have had really good weeks. Man, miss talking to you all. I've been trying to get back into this gym, right? Because, as many of you know, I had knee surgery about a year ago. And it was expensive, man. It cost me a lot of money. And I'm supposed to have this brand new bionic knee, and it ain't where it need to be. It ain't it. Now, a lot of this is partially my fault, right? So I just been doing a lot of different things, and you know, my rehab kept getting interrupted. So like I switched insurances, and that means I switched doctors. My surgeon ended up leaving the practice a few months after my surgery and well into my rehab, and it just been just getting thrown off here and there. And so I still can't run and do all those things. So I'm trying to get back in to really, I don't know, handle that stuff, man. I need my knee back. I miss playing basketball. I can't jog. So I'm trying to work on that. And I'm just trying not to become a fat boy. So, like, I'm working really hard on that. I've been kind of small, like, most of my life. And now it's just, there's just some, I'm getting older, man. So the things I eat just, like, stick better. So, I don't know. I'm trying to get up into that Trader Joe's and buy this green stuff. Let me explain something to y'all. Like, this country want people to be fat. All right. It is so expensive to eat healthy. I wanted to just get like some raw unsalted cashews from Trader Joe's. The thing's like $7-$8. What? This is a travesty. When I can go and get a bag, double the size of these cashews, I can go get some sunflower seeds for a dollar. You know what I'm saying? It's a setup, man. It's a setup. Like, you try to buy lean meats and all that stuff, that junk is like $9. But then McDonald's got a dollar menu. See, it's a setup, man. It's a setup. I had this idea a long time ago, and it just I can't focus on this thing or whatever, but I always said, like, if I had like a platform and some money, what I would do is I would try to set up a program inside of the lower tier grocery stores where like poor black and brown people shop, right? And in it, I would just have signs up about healthy eating. So basically, it would tell you the things you can buy at a bargain to replace some of the things that you may already eat. So for example, when I was a kid, I ate chicken. I'm not even joking, yo. I feel like in 7-day weeks, I may have eaten chicken 4 or 5 times a week. Like that has happened multiple times. I love fried chicken. I it is so good. It's so amazing. It's especially when it's right out the skillet and it's that perfect golden brown. Like, I remember walking into the house and you just see the bag with the flour in it, and you just get excited because you know what's about to happen. Like, you know that there's about to be some fried chicken eaten I mean, and then they'll make something green. I don't know, like some greens or some peas or something. I don't know. I never ate that. But you gave me the chicken and some bread and some hot sauce. I was good. So you become an adult and you try to eat healthy. And then you see things for the first time in your life. Like, I remember the first time, not even that I saw the food. When I saw the word kale in the first time in my life, I was well into my 20s. Well into them. And so anyway, what my idea would be is that it'll be ways for, you know, poor folks to be able to buy and prepare healthier meals and do meal plan and stuff. And it'll be right there inside of the Pack and Save, or if you're in Kentucky, like the Piggly Wiggly, or, you know, Jewels, or wherever you live, whatever the shopping market is where you live. Because I think, though, like, that type of education and that access, like, is helpful. And I think that those things will change behavior. Some people say, no, that won't. Well, we can look at the tobacco industry, right? So there was this all-out assault on tobacco in the 90s when I was a kid. And I remember California when they outlawed people being able to smoke in buildings and stuff like that. But what they also did is they had all these ad campaigns. And now, like, we have a lot less smokers in the country. Now, there's a bunch of other factors that may play into that. I know somebody going to be out there fact-checking and be like, that's not why that happened. Like, I understand that. You be partially right, but you also be partially wrong. Like, these things are facts that there was a really, really aggressive campaign against tobacco. So I just think that if we are really trying to help communities, right, and we're really trying to help poor people, I just think that there are ways that we can do that. So, you know, and I know McDonald's will add a new salad every now and then. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get back on this fitness thing. I gotta get right, man. I gotta get right. Like there used to be a washboard in this midsection, yo. Like there used to be like a six pack there. Like, I know it don't look like it now. It looks like I'm just an overtan, like, Miami retired gangster. Like, if I'm wearing some kind of, you know, short sleeve button up shirt with it open. I ain't that bad yet. But, you know, I got a little bit of it's something down there. And I gotta get rid of this, man. This is not the business. Like, it's so serious. Like, I'm drinking water. Like, I hate water. Oh, I hate water. I hate it. I remember, like, coming home and being like, oh, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. And my dad would be like, drink some water. Man, I don't want no water. You ain't thirsty then. No, I was thirsty. Water just don't taste like nothing. I want something that, you can't give me Kool-Aid all through my childhood. And then when I'm thirsty, you done train my body to be addicted to sugary, syrupy Kool-Aid, and then tell me to drink water. I am undoing decades of work here. I ain't had Kool-Aid in years, but even talking about it, like, I want to go and just buy the big picture and get the bag of sugar. And, you know, I used to like to get two different flavors of Kool-Aid and mix them and put them in, and then we never measured the sugar in black houses. You just take that big old white bag of sugar, that CNH, and you just turn it. You look like you're gonna pour a little bit in there, then you just turn that thing upside down, and then you get your diabetes juice. It was great. It tasted amazing. So I'm trying to get back in that, man. My knee is hurting because I went to the gym 2 days in a row. Just got back there not that long ago. So I need to ice this knee. But I'm really going to try to focus on that. And we're going to see how I do, because it's not always the easiest thing. It's really not. But when you talk about focus, man, I think that's the thing I get most frustrated with myself about, is just, like, because I just know the different position in life I'd be in if I could just truly focus. Like, if I could just truly, truly focus and knock stuff out, Like I just know it. And so, you know, I try to be real disciplined with myself, and I do okay, but I could do way, way better. I think from the outside in, it looks like this dude is real militant with his time and stuff. And I'm telling you, man, I gotta be that way. Cause if I get like, I'm one of those people, it's like a all or nothing thing, man. It's just, like my parents was addicts. That whole addict behavior thing is like real. Like I got that gene. I get addicted to stuff. Like I get addicted to, like winning. Like that sounds weird. Like I'm just really competitive, right? Like I don't want to always do well, and I want to always do better. So because I play sports, like after every loss, you just kind of like go back through the game meticulously and like pick it apart and figure out ways that you could have did better or been more productive. And so I do that in my life, right? It's like, oh man, what all did I get done this week? And then I go back and look and be like, well, why didn't I get that done? Or so I'm trying to be more disciplined. But that don't jive well, man. It's weird. I am like, I'm a weird dude. So I care about people a lot. Like I care about people. So, right. Like all my jobs that I've done has been about like the people. Right. But caring about a person is different than caring about the people. So for instance, I will break my neck and stay up and work if I know it's going to benefit the people, because that's what makes me feel good. But I tend to be much less patient and less sensitive when it comes to actual people. And I would say, especially like in my personal life, right? But like, especially with like friends. And I say this because I can go through my phone and there's just messages from friends. And I mean, some of these people are people I've known for years, and they, you know, they get frustrated with me, right? But here's the thing. I don't like doing the things that most people like to do. I do like to go out and have nice dinners and things like that, but I tend to like to go and do those things by myself. Like it takes a different level of effort for me to go out constantly with my friends to like do that or to have small talk. I don't want to have small. I don't. It's not something that I enjoy. If that makes sense. I'm telling you, so this is what I credit this to, right? I blame that on, like, I moved a lot when I was a kid. Like, I moved a lot. Like, we just moved a lot. And so, like, I didn't really make these lifelong friends until well into my teen years. But I just got used to coming into a new space, knocking out what I need to do in that space, you know, being able to function in it. But that's still basically pretty, you know, pretty surface, right? So now when I have to, like when people want you to engage in a different way, it feels like work. But here's the thing, work doesn't always feel like work. So I get joy, man, I realistically, I'm not even lying, yo. I put in like maybe 70 hours last week. You know, it's a new job. I'm really excited about it. It's a lot to learn. Things move real fast. And sometimes it just takes me longer to get things. So I have to spend extra time on it. And so, you know, it's not uncommon for me to be at an office till 10, 11, maybe even midnight. But I can rock with it though, right? Like I can have my music on, you know, because it's probably just me. I got like a nice little desk lamp that I like, and I like to feel like things are happening and I'm accomplishing something. And so, but that makes me happy on some level. Like the thing that makes me happiest is, oh man, like traveling for work. And not just like driving like down the street or in the city. Like I like getting on a plane, going somewhere, having a hotel for work. I love working in other cities. It just, I don't know, it just does something to me. Some of the best things I've written, some of the best things I've produced, some of my freshest thoughts have been like in another city, whether it's like back in my hometown of like Chicago or even New Orleans. Like I was in New Orleans not that long ago, or Atlanta, when I was in Rhode Island like earlier this year over Martin Luther King weekend. Like I just wrote some of the best stuff that I had written in a while. Like I just mapped some stuff out and it felt, you know, it felt real good to do. But that's just how I like to get down. I just like that. And so, but what that does on the personal level is, I don't know, man. I think a lot of folks just don't understand. And I don't have a good poker face in that. Like if I'm not enjoying something, like it's obvious, it's apparent. Like it's just obvious. And so my thing is, so I don't ruin it for everybody else. Like I tend to just stay home or I go and do stuff by myself. So, you know, so it's people that'll be like, I just saw on your Facebook, your Instagram, you was here and you was there. You went out, you know, you was at the beach and you was doing this, that, and the third. It's like, yeah, I went by myself because I can control when I go and I can just sit there and do nothing if I don't want to, or listen to music in these headphones that I like to spend money on. I like spending money on electronics. Like, I can do that. And I don't have to be considerate of like, well, maybe this person wants to go and do this thing or do that thing. Yeah. So it's just, it's weird, man. Like I'm a good friend, but it could be difficult, like, rocking with me. Like, it could be truly difficult. And I acknowledge that. But I do feel like I'm on a mission. I do really feel like I'm gonna be able to do something great. Like I don't want good, I want great. So, I mean, if you gotta make up, you know, and I'm okay with people like deciding that this ain't the thing, this ain't for them, because it ain't for everybody. You know, the folks that I've been friends with for years, they just know me, man, and you know, they see me when they see me. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm working on that. I guess I don't know if that's a thing where I need to necessarily mature, or if I just, you know, or if that's just who I am, and that's just the way I'm programmed. And to do anything differently would be inauthentic. You know, I don't know. Somebody let me know. I'm sure y'all leave a comment or text me or something and say, no, you need to do X, Y, and Z. Now, I'm not saying I'm a list. I will acknowledge whatever idea folks send over. So that's that, man. We talked about what my ultimate, so what are these goals? Like, what is it that I'm spending all this time on, and what do I ultimately want to do? Man, honestly, man, I really just want to leave something great that people benefit from, you know? Like, sorry, I had to drink. I'm drinking this nasty water because it's hot and I'm trying to drink more water. I'm glad y'all can't see me. I don't look as weird as when Marco Rubio did it. But I really want to leave something of value that helps people that grew up the way that I grew up. Like, that's it. It's really that simple. Like, there are maybe, it may seem intricate, it may seem like I'm running around doing a whole bunch of stuff, but all I really know is that if a few things have been different in my life, there'd just be different opportunities that I would have had the courage to go for, or, you know, felt like I could go for, or that I would have just been even aware of. Like, I really wish somebody would have really sat down with me and talked to me about traveling abroad. Like, being able to do like a semester at sea or in a different country, I just think that would have been dope. And I could have really did that. I wish that I would have applied to some, like, I would have broadened out the schools that I applied to. I'm happy with the school that I went to, because we did a lot of things there, and I learned a lot about myself and some of the people that are some of my best friends I wouldn't know if I didn't go down that route. But, you know, I didn't take the chances that I needed to take at that time. Or it's just certain things that I didn't know. And folks weren't necessarily breaking their necks to teach to me because maybe they didn't know either. So that's just something that I tend to think about. That's something that I think about a lot. So the other thing is I went to school in Oakland and it just wasn't a good experience. You know, looking back on it and knowing what good teaching is now and knowing what like a quality school can be after kind of being in different parts of the country and just seeing the experiences, the varied experiences that kids are having and knowing that a lot of our kids don't have that experience and a lot of our parents are not even aware of some of the things that their kids could be doing. Like it's so that's one of the things that I really want to make sure I do is, you know, I want parents and community people and like kids to just know that you it's a lot of different, it's a lot of things you can do and it's a lot of ways you can do it. And this is what quality should look like. This is how, you know, this is how you demand quality. This is how you demand more from yourself. This is how you demand more from your school, how you demand more from your community, whatever. And, you know, I was talking about this with a friend. I caught the analogy of the stolen bike. And so when a person of privilege, right, or of good means, maybe white, maybe not, whatever, right? Let's say that kid's bike gets stolen. And so that kid goes and is upset because somebody stole my bike. Somebody took something from me that wasn't supposed to happen. Like, I don't deserve to have my bike taken, right? That's the mentality of that kid. Now, let my bike get stolen, right? So, and I had my bike stolen before, which is interesting. Like, the thought process is just different, right? The thought process is, what did I do to allow my bike to get stolen? Like, did I not lock it up? Did I let somebody ride my bike when my mom told me not to let nobody ride my bike? Was I careless? There was something that I did that led to my bike getting stolen. Now, when you juxtapose these two mindsets, these mindsets, like, they grow with you. I think I was listening to Freakonomics or something, and they was talking about the difference between when black kids go to the doctor and when white kids go to the doctor. And so when a black kid goes to the doctor, that doctor is an authority. One, black men just have this thing about going to the doctor anyway for a bunch of different reasons. But, you know, but when you're there, you know, your mom, and I kind of remember this too, like, you don't really talk to that doctor that much. Like, that doctor may engage you, you respond, you know, but you get your little shot, you get your little, you know, your little Band-Aid and your lollipop and you bounce, you know what I'm saying? Now, in this thing, what the white kid does and what the white kid's parent does is very different. I was really shocked to hear this. Because it's one of those things that it seems obvious when you hear it, but it never came up for you. So this mom encourages her son to have a conversation with his doctor, and says she encourages him to ask what's happening. She encourages him to ask why this is happening. Like, she encourages him to be inquisitive and to make sure you get answers from that. Like, and to understand in the moment that doctor is working to keep you safe. That doctor is essentially working for you. And so when you have those, that difference in mindset, and I definitely fall into that black poor mindset around those types of things, right? And but those things translate when you get older. They grow with you, and so it grows in how you see the world. So for instance, you know, I'm one of those people, like, you go to the restaurant, you don't get the food that you want, it's not, you order something, they gave it to you the wrong way, and it's kind of like, all right, well, whatever, I'll deal with it, it's fine, it's not that big of a deal. Whereas somebody else who grew up with a different mindset is saying, no, I paid for this. You're going to give me what I paid for because I deserve it. I deserve a certain level of quality. And then that translates into how those parents interact with schools, how they interact with banks, how they interact with each other. Like, there's just a certain demand of quality that's there. You dig what I'm saying? So what I want to do is I want to help create the tools that help, you know, that help with this kind of mindset. So how do you, like, little black boy, how do we get you to understand and know deep in your gut and your heart that you deserve a certain level of quality, that you deserve to be treated a certain type of way? Right? I think that sounds small, but I think if you can do that, I think when you have people demanding a certain level of quality, I think that it changes things. I truly do. So I do that through, you know, the speeches I give, the stuff that I write, the mentoring and all that stuff. But I mean, I may be giving these like kind of hard skills or helping a kid develop soft skills. But ultimately, really what I'm trying to do is just let you know that you deserve more than what you think you deserve. So anyway, it's hard to ask for things you ain't never seen before. So you got to expose people to that. You got to expose people to it. Like, I just had this joke when I was working with doing youth development, and I was training other people to do youth development. And I would say, like, the litmus test of being able to, of knowing if you're good at youth development is if you can get some black kids from the hood and some Latino kids from the hood that ain't never had sushi before, if you can get them to try sushi, real sushi, then that you in there. Like, you got some real skill. Because I remember, man, like, before I actually had sushi, I thought that was the most disgusting thing in the world. Like, you gonna eat that raw fish? All crazy, weird people. Go get my chicken, because we got a ton of it at the house. But when I actually tried it, it was something that I loved. And it's funny, because most of the kids that I've done that with, like, they love it now, right? Or it's not even that they love it, it's just that they are trying new things that they had never tried before. They kind of stepping out of that the block that they grew up in. It's a really dope experience when you get to watch kids learn and grow. So anyway, man, I just enjoyed talking with y'all today. I'm gonna try to link the music that I open with and close with below, just in case people want to buy that or, you know, get in support those people. I told y'all, man, that's what I spend the most time on. It's not the editing. It's not the prepping for the show. It's not even like, you know, getting the show like up and everything. It is the music. I spend a whole bunch of time thinking about what's going to be a good like opening song and what's going to be a good closing song. And luckily my podcast ain't big enough yet for people to sue me. But I'm giving them credit, you know what I'm saying? So that's what we're going to do. But anyway, hope y'all have a great week, a blessed week. Bless somebody and take care of yourselves and each other, man. This is Charles Cole. You listen to the Cole World Podcast. You can tweet me or find me on Instagram at C Cole the Third. That's at CCOLEIII. There's all those places that I write stuff. And yeah, I look forward to hearing from people. All right, till next time. Peace. And you're gonna pay for it. I don't know if I can stop myself. And you're gonna pay for it. Oh, you'll never let a touch fire let to burn. This ain't no game. I'm taking all you have. And you're gonna pay for it. It's a heavy load. I stroll in a bumpy road. No jacket when I was cold. Becoming one with my soul. Stand toe to toe with my foes. These wolves in sheep clothes. No weapon on me shall prosper. Nigga, you better watch it. You playing with fire burning. You slow. Hold up. I hear the whispers wishing it's all cheap voodoo. I keep it cool to keep from going cuckoo with a cow. Aiming at fake smiles and turn them upside down. Came too far for my feet to feel me. Lord,
but if I'm wrong, you can help me now. Hold up, wait a minute, what am I saying? The devil, he busy trying to get me every day in every way. I won't let up, I won't shut up. You can't stop me, you won't knock me. Tenfold now, copy, live almighty. My declaration being written in hieroglyphics on top of the highest mountain. Now listen.
Ain't no game.
Resurrecting my finches, been dissecting your motor mouth till I break down the engine. This ain't a wanna shot, this a relevant henchman. See my opponent, then cease your existence. Ending our friendship, baby, I'd rather die alone. Your diaphragm is dietary, what you eat, no. Capture your audience with